This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here with your top stories this Friday. Aspen's teachers' union hopes to reach an agreement with the school district over salary negotiations. The disagreement stems from how the district will use some of voter-approved revenue streams. The union wants the district to use new property tax revenue to go toward a 12% raise. Chris Kaplinski is a middle school math teacher. He says the raise will help retain teachers.
The way I see it right now, our district has a decision to make. And we can choose to put this money into a savings account, or we can choose to use this money to invest in our people.
The school district proposed an 8.5% base salary increase during negotiations. They say the new property tax needs to first go toward rebuilding its depleted reserves. The district is preparing for a funding shortfall in 2032, when a new statewide school finance formula goes into effect. They're also anticipating a dip in sales tax revenue during next year's nine-month airport closure. Max Marolt is the district's interim chief financial officer.
I think the district is in a situation where we definitely want to pay our staff, and I think we have the ability to give a pretty generous raise. But I also think that we need to leave a little room for some of this uncertainty to shake out.
Mediation will begin on April 30th. A Carbondale startup is getting ready to launch its first product, floor tiles made from tulip buds. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports that the company wants to replace petroleum-based plastic flooring.
Natalie York founded Flora Materials 3 years ago with a mission to provide reliable, bio-based building materials. The company's tiles are made from synthetic tulip resin mixed with oyster shells. York says it'll be pricier than plastic vinyl flooring, but cheaper than luxury wood or stone options. She hopes to appeal to new buyers looking to spruce up older homes.
Very common for people to rip out their flooring and give it a nice facelift. But there really are not a lot of sustainable options out there.
The company received grant funding from the U.S. Army and plans to sell a commercial version of the tiles to the military. The tiles are currently made in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but York says she's hoping to open a manufacturing facility in Rifle. That could happen as soon as next year. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
The Roaring Fork School Board is considering a new policy banning all personal electronics during school hours. That includes cell phones, tablets, laptops, smartwatches, earbuds, and cameras. The policy acknowledges the safety and communication benefits of these devices, but cites the damage to students' mental health and classroom engagement. Both the Aspen and Garfield RE2 school districts have already banned cell phones. The policy will come before the Roaring Fork School District Board at least twice more before a vote. In statewide news, fewer people are moving to Colorado, and that is bad for business. CPR's Sarah Mulholland reports.
In the past decade, Colorado went from being one of the most popular states for people moving within the U.S. to one of the least. That's according to a new report from the Common Sense Institute based on U.S. Census data. In 2014, Colorado ranked third among the states for domestic migration. In 2024, it ranked 44th. The report says the trend means there's not enough new workers to fill new jobs. Ultimately, that could make Colorado a less appealing place for businesses. I'm Sarah Mulholland, CPR News.
The city of Denver has lost its federal court battle to overturn a nearly $15 million excessive force verdict. Denverite's Kyle Harris reports.
A group of protesters accused the Denver Police Department of excessive force during the 2020 George Floyd protests. Police used less lethal munitions, including flashbang explosives, pepper balls, and tear gas grenades, indiscriminately, according to the complaint. A jury awarded the demonstrators $14.75 million, but Denver appealed the verdict. This week, a federal judge ruled in favor of the protesters. Denver has paid tens of millions over cases tied to the 2020 protests. I'm Kyle Harris, Denverite.
All of Colorado is in some state of drought. That's putting strain on water supplies and the state officials who manage them. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more.
Water users with the oldest rights get first priority for access. In times of shortage, a call is placed on a river or stream, restricting junior water rights holders, sometimes completely. This year, calls that usually come on in July have begun coming on in April. Jason Ullman, Colorado's state engineer, says there have been bad water years before, like in 2002 and 2012.
But in many of those years, it wasn't accompanied with a March that was 5 degrees above the previous high, where we were at, you know, in the valleys, we're in the 80s and 90s, and it caused this runoff to happen so early.
He says many water users have some water stored in reservoirs that they can rely on in dry years. But that safety net will go away next year if there's another dry year and reservoirs can't be replenished. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
And in regional news, it's widely known that the fire season is getting longer, with many now talking about a fire year. But the way fires burn during individual days is also shifting significantly, as the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports.
At night, temperatures are cooler and the air is wetter, which gives wildland firefighters a long window to make up significant ground when trying to suppress blazes. But new research shows that this pattern is breaking down, a trend driven by human-caused climate change.
We do see more and more fires burning through the night.
That's Kaiwe Luo, lead author of a new paper in the journal Science Advances. The team found that potential burning hours, when weather conditions are conducive to active fire, grew by 36% over the last 5 decades. But those jumps were particularly pronounced in the West. Significant swaths of New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming, and Idaho are now seeing more than 2 additional burning hours every day, with some pockets seeing even more dramatic rises. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
With the rise of AI, Indigenous people around the world are growing more concerned about data sovereignty. The Mountain West News Bureau's Hannah Mertzbach has more on a recent conference on the topic in Tucson, Arizona.
One attendee was Bert Dillabaugh, a member of the Cheyenne River Sioux tribe who works for an organization focused on Indigenous data sovereignty. He says at the last conference in 2024, people were still trying to understand the concept. Now, as AI scrapes data from the internet, including traditional knowledge, they're ready to take action.
Since AI is here to stay, now is the time to be planning for it before it's too late.
The mission is to protect Indigenous data, everything from genetics to language, from being exploited.
It's some outside entity, whether it be the federal government or a university or some corporation, wanting to get data from tribes.
He says tribes can protect their data with policies that govern access, or by creating systems to store it within Indigenous nations. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.